going to talk about responsibility. We started a series of messages last week, and this is our second week. We're continuing. The verses that we have at the top of our notes last week, we don't have them this week, but last week were from Psalm 1, and this is what those verses says. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating, thinking about it, letting it go round and round in their heart, day and night, all the time. And these people become like trees that are planted by streams of water, by the riverbank. They're fruitful, successful. Their leaves never wither, and they have this sense of well-being in everything they do. Sounds good, doesn't it? By the way, families, if you want to, you can come and sit up front. These seats here, they're cheap this week. So come and take advantage. Not every week is that possible. But come and sit up front. I don't mind if you've got children. I don't mind if they're a little bit restless. I don't mind that at all. What we care about as a church family is as a family coming into God's presence together. Is that right? Learning and growing together in Him. And so these people who think about God, think about His Word, let it go round and round in their heart, they become people that are fruitful, successful. They have this sense of well-being. And how this relates to responsibility is this way. We would all love to be successful. We'd all love to have peace in our heart. We would all love to know that we are one with God. Well, there's things that need to happen. There's responsibilities that we have to take to make sure that we have those experiences. And David says in Psalm 1, it's important, it's crucial that we don't allow the way that people who don't know God influence us. We don't listen to them. We don't take their advice. We don't get involved in the things that they do, which are against God. But rather, we allow God and His Word to be alive on the inside of us. We think about His Word. We want to obey it. We want to follow God. And when we have that desire, there's a wonderful sense of peace that comes into our heart. Today, we're talking about responding to God. Our responsibility to respond to God. And there's some verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter is right at the end of our Bibles almost. And you want to read it. It's a fantastic book. It's got loads and loads to say to us today. In fact, I don't know if you've realized this, but you remember the series that we did on Jesus, the chief cornerstone? And the one we just did on royal priests? That all comes from 1 Peter. So I reckon most of you have read that book recently. Yeah? These verses come from 1 Peter chapter 5. You can follow these on your notes. So he says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And in the right time, God will lift you up in honor. Give all of your worries and cares to God. Anybody ever worry about things here? Yeah, we have worries, we have concerns. He says, give them all to God because He cares for you. Let's read on. Stay alert. Wakey, wakey. Don't fall asleep. See, anybody fall asleep today? Can give them a little poke. Peter says, stay alert. Watch out, because you've got an enemy. The devil. He prowls around. Thank you. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He's looking for someone to devour. Do you know what the word devour means? Most of you guys do this every time you sit down to a meal. You devour it. You eat it like that it's the last meal. You eat it like someone's about to steal it from in front of you. You devour it. A building or a barn could be on fire and the fire devours it. It removes it. It gobbles it up. And it says you got to be careful because this is what the devil wants to do. He's looking for those that he can eat up, not literally, but whose lives he can destroy. He can devour their peace, their joy. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Those are the verses that we're going to look at today. Let's ask this question. What does it mean to take responsibility? We want to keep this real simple for all of us. To take responsibility is really simple. It simply means that we see that something that we need to do, and we do it. That's the simplest definition of what it means to take responsibility. It means this, that we say, yes, there's something that God asked me to do, and I'm going to do it. That's as simple as it gets, to take responsibility. It's not complicated. It isn't always pleasant and easy because sometimes we don't want to take responsibility. We don't like what that means. Let me give you some examples of taking responsibility. You'll see these come up on screen. When our room needs tidying, hey, we're not just talking to the young ones here. It's good to see some convicted looks on people's face. When our room needs tidying, how do we take responsibility? You say, well, I can't find a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt tidy thy room. But taking responsibility means that we accept what it is that God asks us to do. It may not be pleasant. We may not enjoy it. But it is a responsibility that God has given to us. When others are being mean to someone, what would it mean for me to take the responsibility God gives to me? Do we get swept along? Do we get drawn into what everybody else is doing? And it hasn't just got to be when they're being mean to people. But when we see that people are doing things which are not what God says, how do we respond? What does it mean for us to take our responsibility? Dad and Mum has said, no more playing on the computer today. I wonder how many dads and mums have said that. A few hands went up, and a few children's hands went up as well. Not sure what that means. Maybe mum or dad plays too much on the computer. Good thought. Dad and mum have said no more playing on the computer today. What choice? You see, there's a choice that comes. What choice is taking your God-given responsibility, and what is being irresponsible? You see, sometimes we don't want to take responsibility because taking responsibility means that we've got to stop doing something that we enjoy. But just because we enjoy it doesn't mean to say that it's right. There are a ton of things that we can do that we think are fun, But sometime later on, we discover that they really weren't fun. The Bible says this about sin. Sin is when we do anything that God has told us not to. It's when we choose to separate ourselves from God. And the Bible says this, there's only one place that sin will lead you to, and that's to the place where it separates you from God. It's called death. You see, we have that choice. Our teacher has given the class instructions for what we need to do, and then they leave the classroom. How do we handle that responsibility? Some of the adults are now thinking back to their school years and going, gulp, I wasn't very responsible. You see, it's about choices. Choices that we make all the time. Choices that we face when there is one way of going forward, one way, set of things that we can do, or there's something else that God says, this is what I'm asking you to do. How about this? When you feel angry with each other, what is the responsible thing to do? You see, our feelings are not wrong. Our feelings are not wrong. We should never try to ignore them, but neither should we allow them to tell us how we are going to respond. Whether we're young, what was your list, Young Ho? Young, not so young, very young, old. I turned to my wife and said, I wonder which category we fit into. It doesn't matter what our age is. We have feelings. Yeah? Anybody here never had any feelings? Anybody here never felt angry? But you see, when we have those feelings, that's when we have a sense of a responsibility. Are we going to let that anger burst out from us and hurt one another and hurt other people? You see, this is what we don't always realize. When we are irresponsible, when we refuse to do what God tells us to do, we might think, it only really affects me. And we may be husband and wife or mother and father, and we may think when we fall out, when we argue, when we're unkind to each other, it really only affects the two of us. But it's not true. It affects other people in our lives. When we are irresponsible, when we make that choice that we're going to do what we want to do instead of what God asks us to do. What does taking responsibility mean when you've had a huge misunderstanding? Just being real. Just trying to illustrate real life experiences that all of us have to help us to recognize where taking responsibility is so important. We can sometimes feel so right as we choose to become irresponsible. We can feel that somebody has made me act this way. If that person had not done this, if that person had not said that, then I would not have responded this way. My friends, nobody else is in control of our lives. We always have that choice that we can make. And one thing that we often forget is this, that everything that we do is a response to God. It may be that we are conscious that we have a responsibility to our parents. We have a responsibility to our husband or to our wife. We have a responsibility to our mother or father, to our boss at work, to other people in our family, to people around us. We may become aware that we've got that responsibility. But what we must realize is this, that everything we do is a response to God first. If I allow myself to be angry with my wife, first of all, I have said no to God when God has been seeking to fill my heart with love and peace and has shown me how destructive it is when I allow that anger to come out to my wife. My first response is to God. I want to show you this. There's a beautiful verse in John chapter 12. And what we've got to realize is that Jesus lived this way. He always took responsibility. Listen to what he said. I don't speak on my own authority. In other words, I don't speak just what I think. I don't speak according to what I feel like. I don't speak words that are simply influenced by things that are going on around me. And we can do that. We can say an unkind word just like that because we feel that people have upset us. But Jesus said, I don't speak that way on my own authority. The Father, my Father, who has sent me, listen, he has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Did you realize that? Jesus was fully aware that his Father had not only instructed him what to say in every situation, but how to say it. You may say, well, God has told me that I need to love everyone. I've got to love those people who I don't like. And so you walk up to a person and you say, I love you. I don't really want to, but I've got to and I'm supposed to, so I love you. You can feel that you're saying the right thing, but God says there's a way to say it. There's a responsibility that God gives us in what we say. And Jesus said, I never speak on my own authority. I never allow the feelings that I have to determine what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. Because I know that my Father in heaven has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I'm going to take responsibility. You see, there were people who hated Jesus. Did you realize that? There were people who hated him so much, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him, to get him out of their lives. That's how much they hated him. And there were people who said of Jesus, we know who you are. You're the devil. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine maybe how Jesus felt? Can you imagine? Maybe you don't need to imagine. Can you remember how you feel when people say things to you that are not right? And you get in trouble for things that you have never done. And you're accused of things that you're not guilty of. And you have feelings. Sometimes if we let them, those feelings will come out. And instead of taking responsibility, instead of allowing God to speak through us, we speak out of our feelings. Listen, this is what Jesus went on to say. And I know that my Father's commands lead to eternal life. In other words, Jesus was saying, I know what my Father wants me to say. I know how he wants me to say them. And I know why he wants me to speak that way. Because he wants me to speak those words that have eternal life within them. So often we can speak words that kill and destroy. They kill and destroy friendships. They can kill and destroy people's hearts. Words can be so destructive. And God says, the words that I want you to speak and the way I want you to speak them are ones that will always and only ever bring my life into other people's hearts. In our families, we need to be really thoughtful about taking responsibility for our words. You know, parents, children listen so much to what we say. And when we say things that are hurtful, when we say things out of upsetness, out of anger or frustration, our children hear those things and it can break their hearts. When mum and dad say things to each other, or like our picture illustrated, don't say anything to one another. You know, silence can be just as destructive as hurtful words. Sometimes people think, well, if the only things that come out of my mouth are words that destroy, I'm just not going to say anything. And that's not what God says. God says, I want you to speak words that bring life and healing to each other. And sometimes we have got so upset with another person, we say, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. I never want to speak to that person again. And that silence can bring so much death, the same as if we speak hurtful words. And what God has given us is the responsibility that we speak words of eternal life. And if our feelings are so big and so strong, and all we feel that's going to happen when we open our mouth is that words that destroy will come out, and that's when we need to draw close to God. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. He says, I know that his commandments lead to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Whatever I feel like, whatever other people are doing, whatever is going around in my life, this is me taking responsibility. I'm going to say what God tells me to say. You see, everything we do is a response to God. There's two things that happen when we take responsibility. I want us to see these this morning. The first thing is that God always gives us his power to respond his way. Listen, God knows that we can't do it ourselves. That's why he's given us his Holy Spirit to live within us. He's given us his own power, his own strength. There's a man in the Old Testament whose name was Moses. He was born in Egypt, and then he left Egypt, and he became a shepherd. He was looking after some sheep in a wilderness. And one day, he was in the wilderness with these sheep. And he looked at this bush. And it was on fire. But the fire was not destroying it. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine that? Here is this bush on fire, but the fire is not destroying it. And then something else happens. God begins to speak to him out of this bush. True story. Really happened. And God begins to give to Moses instructions. He said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, because my people have become slaves and they're crying out to me. I want you to set them free. I want you to go back and bring them out of Egypt. And Moses said, but Lord, can you imagine Moses is speaking to this bush? If it had been me, I'd probably had a little look round first. make sure nobody's looking, and then talk to the bush. But Lord, what if your people there don't listen to me? What if they don't believe me when I say, hey guys, God has sent me to set you free. What if they think I'm nuts and crazy? And God began to show Moses that he was going to be with him. You see, this wasn't my wake-up poking stick. This is my Moses rod. You know, this is a hiking stick. Yeah, I don't use it. I've only got one. Did you know you need to have two hiking sticks? You can never do it with one, because if you have one, you end up going around in circles like this. So you have to swap hands, and then you can go back the other way. So if you notice, all the professional hikers, they have two. And it doesn't matter whether they're walking uphill, downhill, on rough ground, or on a smooth piece of path. They've got their walking sticks. Anyway, this is my Moses rod. So Moses had in his hand a shepherd's rod. Didn't look like this. Probably a piece of wood. And God said to him, what's that in your hand, Moses? Moses said, well, it's my rod. It's my walking stick. And God said to Moses, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground. Guess what happened to it? That one didn't. Moses' rod actually turned into a snake. God made that rod turn into a snake. True story. Okay, this is not something out of Hollywood. True story. Because God is showing Moses that he is with him. His power is with him. And God said to Moses, now, pick up the snake by the tail. See, wise. So Moses bent down and he picked up the snake by the tail, and it turned back into his stick. But he still wasn't convinced. And God did two or three other things to help Moses realize that if he would take responsibility, if Moses would do what God had asked him, know what God had told him to do, then he would experience God's power. And this is something which we will always, always experience. When we take responsibility, God will always, always, always give us his power. Listen to what he said. God said to Moses, perform this sign, the Lord said to him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. This is an absolute truth. When God gives us his instructions, when God tells us what to do, whether it's cleaning our room, helping with the dishes, taking the trash out, forgiving someone, showing God's love, whatever it is that God asks us to do, when we take responsibility, which means we say, yes, God, you've asked me to do this, and that's what I'm going to do, every single time we will experience God's power. Every single time. Why is that? Because the Lord has given us his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit lives within each one of us. And he is just waiting for every opportunity when we say yes to God to release his amazing power. The second thing that happens is that taking responsibility keeps us close to God. There's a story in 1 Samuel, and it's around chapter 13. Read this, read it together as families, read it as a single person. It's about King Saul and David. King Saul was the first king of Israel. And we read in those chapters how that he did something which God told him he was not supposed to do. He was irresponsible. He was waiting for Samuel to come. Samuel was allowed, he was a prophet, but he was also allowed by God to make offerings to God. And King Saul knew this. And he was waiting 7 days for Samuel to come. And he felt he couldn't wait any longer. And so he was irresponsible. He himself made an offering and offered it to the Lord. And just as he was doing this, Samuel turned up. And God spoke some very strong words to King Saul. He says this, "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You've been irresponsible. You've done what you thought. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has looked and found a man after his own heart." He's talking about David. "The Lord has already appointed him to be leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." David, on the other hand, was one who stayed close to the Lord. He listened to God. He said something like this. He said, "God, I love your commands. I love them. I think about them all the time." The Bible says he even thought about them when he was on his bed at night time. "Day and night, I think about the things that you've told me to do. I love the things that you've told me to do." And one of the things that this worked in David's heart was that it kept him close to God. It's the same for us when we take responsibility. When we say, "Yes, God. Yes, God. That's something you have given me to do, and I'm going to do it." It keeps our heart close to God's heart. What a wonderful place to be. Let's go back to those verses that we read earlier from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. "So humble yourself under the mighty hand," or the mighty power of God, "and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God because he cares for you." What is the responsible way to respond to God? What does it mean to take responsibility as we respond to God? Here, our verses tell us exactly what we're to do. It says, "Humble yourself under the mighty power of God." What does that mean? To be humble actually means just to be obedient. That's what it means. When we talk about being humble, it simply means we do what God asks us to do. Because the opposite of being humble is being prideful. It's being proud. And it's when pride is in our heart that we say no to God. When God says forgive, when God says love this way, when God says do this, pride in our heart will cause us to say no to God. Humility causes us to say yes to God. And so here's what we must do when we respond to God. Humble ourselves under his mighty power. That means simply to agree and to believe that God is always true, always speaks the truth. He's always right. He is all powerful and he is perfect. When our heart is humble before God, we acknowledge these things. We still have feelings. We may still feel upset with a person. We may still feel that we don't want to forgive. we may still feel that we want to continue to play computer games, or that we don't want to talk to that person. But our heart, when it's humble before God, it acknowledges that what God says is always true. It is always life-giving. In other words, when we do what God tells us to do, it will always produce life. When we do what we want to do, when we refuse to do what God tells us, when we don't acknowledge that He is perfect in all His ways, everything He says is perfect, it is right, it is true, then we become prideful in our hearts, and what we say and what we do does not produce life. It destroys. It destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. It separates us from God, and it brings death. So here's what we must do when we respond to God. Agree, believe. God, You're perfect. Every time what You say is right. I don't always understand it. I don't always know how it works, but I know You, and I know that You are perfect and true and all-powerful. The second thing that we must do as we respond to God is this. It says, give all your worries and your cares to Him, because He cares for you. It's not wrong to feel worried. It's not wrong to have anxiety, to be anxious. It's not wrong to feel scared. It's not wrong to feel fear. All of those feelings are God's gift to us to help us know what's going on around us. What God says is this. When you have these things, when you're worried about something, if someone has done something mean to you, and you know that God says you need to forgive that person, you might be worried that if you forgive that person, they're just going to do the same thing back to you again. Ever been there? Why should I forgive them? All it will do is mean they'll do exactly the same thing again. You're worried about their reaction. If I help that person, if I help my parents, if I help my wife, if I help my husband, if I'm kind to the people at work, what if they just take advantage of me and think that I'm always going to help them even when I can't? We have concerns. We have worries. God says, talk to me about them. Come and talk to me about them. And here's why. Because I care for you. That doesn't just mean that He'll put His arm around us and say, it'll be okay. It means that He will speak His words of life right into our hearts. And He will help us to see that even if, when we forgive a person, they do the same thing back to us again and again and again, the right thing to do is to keep forgiving, because that is where God's life is seen and experienced. You see, God loves us so much that He never changes His mind. You can argue with Him, and God will never change His mind. God's word is forever the same. And so when we're worried and we're concerned about certain things in life, God says, come and talk to me about them. How must we respond to the devil? The Bible says that we are to stay alert because we have a great enemy. You see, the devil hates us, not just Christians. Listen, the devil hates every single person. And he wants every person to be separated from God. That's his ambition. He wants to separate people from God. And he will do whatever he can to do that. And here's what God says to us. Stay alert. Watch out. Because your great enemy, the devil, he's like a lion. And he's prowling around to see whose life he can consume, whose life he can destroy, who he can devour. And God doesn't say, be scared of the devil. We're not instructed to be scared of the devil, praise God. But we are told, we are commanded to stay alert. Watch out. Be on your guard. He says, stand firm against him. God warns us. He gives us responsibility concerning how we respond to the devil. What is our responsibility? Watch out. Stay alert. Stay awake. You see, the devil is a liar. It means he tells lies. He tells lies about us. He tells lies about God. He tells lies about himself. He tells lies about everything. And we're not to believe those lies. He's also a deceiver. That means he twists the truth. He makes the lies seem like true. He makes that which is true seem like a lie. He's an expert at it. And that's why God says, stay alert. Watch out. Because this devil is sneaky. He's tricky. But God says, as long as you stay alert, as long as you watch out, as long as you stay true to my word, then you will know when the devil is lying to you. You will know when he's trying to deceive you. You see, that's why we encourage people to read the Bible. Because it's God's word. God's word is truth. God cannot lie. God does not deceive. He doesn't twist the truth. He doesn't manipulate it. God is absolutely 100% true. And if we have God's word in our heart, if we read it and we think about it and we believe it, the moment the devil comes with a lie or a deception, we know that it's the devil because we know the truth. Oh, God has not left us in the dark wondering what truth is. He's spoken his word to us. And then he says to us, this is your responsibility concerning the devil. I don't want you to fight him. You don't have to fight him. Because Jesus already did that. And praise God, he won. Amen. Oh, don't go fighting the devil. It's a waste of time. Simply do what God says. Stay alert. Know the truth. Know what I've told you. Watch out. You see, the devil also loves to distract us. How does he do that? He fills our hearts and he fills our lives with things other than living for God. And listen, they don't always have to be things that are obviously bad. I'm not talking now about committing crimes or getting involved in witchcraft. I'm not talking about upfront, obviously evil things. I'm talking about things which seem on the surface harmless. Things that the enemy seeks to put into our lives that take God's place. How do you know when that's happened? How do you know when the enemy, when the devil has put a distraction in your life? It's easy. It's if you feel and you believe that you couldn't live without that thing. If someone came up to you and said, I want you to give that up. And you said, no, I'm not going to. I don't want to. Then you've been distracted. when it has taken a place in your thinking, in your thoughts, in your mind, in your interest, when it's constantly going around in your mind, when you kind of plan a lot of your life around it, it's a distraction. It's not a responsibility, it's a distraction. When something has taken the place that God should have in our lives, and it can be so many things. An interest, a hobby, a pastime, a sport. It could be our work. It could be learning. What is it that stops us from doing what God has told us to do? It's a distraction. What is it that takes us, that causes us to feel, I don't need to go to church today, church service. I don't need that. It's only once every so often, so it doesn't really matter. It's a distraction. Oh, come on, Pastor, you're being a bit harsh with us today. No, I'm not. I'm actually being very loving. Because those things that distract lead us away from God. And they're the strategies of the evil one. They're a ploy, they're a tactic. They're a tactic that the enemy uses every single time to distract us. Jesus, on one occasion, just after he was baptized, Jesus, the Bible says, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. He was there 40 days. He didn't eat anything. He was a bit hungry. And here comes the devil, and the devil tries to tempt him. But Jesus did exactly what it says for us to do. He stayed alert. He watched out for the enemy. He knew when the enemy was talking to him, when the devil was talking to him, because he knew what the truth was. When the devil says, "You're hungry? Here's some stones. Turn them into bread." Jesus knew what God had said, that man's life is not all about what we eat. It's about the living word of God. And he was able to keep the devil out of his life. You see, Jesus took responsibility. And we may think, well, he was Jesus. It was easy for him. No more easy than it is for you and I. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. The very young, the very old. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's power. We have God's promises. Sin was sin then, in Jesus' days, as it is now. No better, no worse, just maybe a bit different. The devil was no bigger, no smaller. Maybe used different tactics in terms of what he tempted people with. But his strategies, they're the same. He lies, he deceives, and he accuses so that he can distract us from God. Jesus was able to stand firm and resist him. James chapter 4. So humble yourselves before God. That's what we must do first. No good trying to resist the devil if we haven't first humbled ourselves before God. Acknowledge God. You are always what? Good. You're always perfect. You're always right. Your word is always true. That's humbling ourselves before God, believing that. So James says, first do that, then resist the devil. And listen, he'll flee from you. Listen, come close to God and God will come close to you. This is how the message reads. So let God work his will in you. Let him. Take responsibility. That's the responsible thing to do, to let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil. And watch him scamper. It's God's word. Resist the devil and he'll flee. if we humble ourselves first. It's God's word. It's a promise. God's told us it's a promise. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil will go. You missed another place to shout hallelujah or amen or praise the Lord, that we don't have to fight him. Humble before God, resist the devil. Stay alert. A loud no to the devil. And watch him scamper, say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. The nation's church, one family, from many nations, all generations, joined as one by Jesus Christ, worshiping, praying, and growing in Christ together. Here's our commission. Here's what God instructs us to do. This is what God has told us to take responsibility for today, to encourage one another in taking responsibility wherever we're at. Not just here on a Sunday morning, in our homes, in our schools, in our colleges, in our families, in our workplaces, wherever we're at, that we encourage one another. Hey, you can take responsibility. You know what God has told you to do. Let's pray together. Let's see the power of God coming and helping us as we follow after him. And we'll see God lifting us up and the enemy running away. Amen? Let's pray.